Romans chapter number 8. Go to the Lord in prayer. Romans chapter number 8. Give you just a moment to turn there. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's page 1201. And Romans chapter number 8. Very familiar chapter. There's a lot in it. In fact, we spent during Bible school every night in the last few verses, verse 28 on down. But today we're going to begin in verse number 1. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse number 5 through verse number 9. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Look down at verse number 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today for all of the blessings of life. And Lord, we've already mentioned today many things that we're praying about, people that we're praying for. We especially remember Sister Mary and her family and her prayers. God, that you'd be with them just in a very special way. And Lord, we pray for the service this morning, the preaching. We're thankful for the message and song that we've already heard today. But Lord, I really pray for your help. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to get everything else out of our minds and off of our hearts, that just for a little while this morning we might completely focus upon the Word of God. I pray for the help and the anointing of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray you'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in the service whatsoever. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can, and that you would help us, and that you'd have your way. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come asking these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 9 and read that verse one more time. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And I want to begin today just by asking some questions. Just you answer in your heart. I'm not asking for anybody to raise their hand or anything like that, but the Bible teaches that there's only two groups of people in the whole wide world. There's two groups of people in the world. One is lost and the other is saved. One has a natural birth. The other has a spiritual birth. One group, according to the Bible, is classified as sinners, and the other group is classified as saints. Now, all of mankind comes into this world under that first heading. All of us have had a natural birth, or you would not be here today. And under that natural birth, we all inherited from Adam a sin nature. And so the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's every person that's born into this world. Now, a few, and I'm using Bible language there, if you read in Matthew chapter number 7, it says, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." The majority are on that broad road to destruction. But the Bible says that there are a few, and that's a Bible word, there's few that have found the narrow way. And that few Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, verse number 7. Nicodemus came to him. He was a religious man. He was a good man, but Jesus told him, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And so there are a few, when we're talking about all the people in the world, the minority, have found what Jesus is talking about when he said unto Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." So my question today is, which category would you be in? Are you saved this morning? That's a real simple question. Are you saved? Have you been born again? That's a Bible word, Bible language, by the way. Sometimes we might ask somebody, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" That's a very straightforward question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Sometimes we might ask somebody, "If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?" Brother Kyle was out on visitation. I believe this happened just within the past month or a couple of months, and asked a young man that very question. "Do you know if you died today, if you'd go to heaven?" He said right off the bat, he said, "I hate that question." Somebody had asked him that before, and that was the end of it. He didn't want to talk about that anymore, but that's a good, you need to know the answer to that question, because we're all going to die. If you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You know, sadly, many times even church people, and I use that in a very broad sense this morning, even church people many times are unsure of their salvation. I would say that you could go anywhere in any church on any given Sunday, go to any service, go to Wednesday night prayer meeting if they had such a thing still, but you could go to any church, any time, any place in the world, and you could probably find somebody in church that really wouldn't know how to answer those questions. I'm talking about people that go to church. You ask them if they're saved, and you say, "Are you saved?" "Well, I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I think so." "Well, you just told me you go to church, and you know, this is something you ought to know so." But see, people say, "I think so." People that go to church, I'm talking about, many times they say, "Well, I hope so." You would not believe how much confusion and doubt are in people's lives, people that go to church I'm talking about, over whether or not, if they died, they go to heaven or they go to hell. People say, and there's 1,000 ways the devil can get you to doubt your salvation. People say, "Well, I think I am. I was saved many years ago, but I don't remember what the preacher preached on." They get caught up on that. "I don't remember exactly how I felt. I don't remember the invitation. I don't remember what I prayed. I don't remember everything about that. I don't remember all the details." And so the devil, he'll come in and he'll say, "Well, you know, something that important, you ought to remember every detail." "Well, you know what? I got married, 27 years ago now, I'm going to get in trouble over that, but I've been married a long time. You know what? I don't remember everything that I said. But I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm married to Kim Greer. No doubt about that whatsoever. I don't remember everything that was said. She asked me something the other day. Did I remember when we got married? I don't remember that. I don't remember what they were talking about, but I believe it. I mean, it's on video, I guess, but they was talking about something, but I don't remember all the little details. But I know who I'm married to. I know who I've lived with all these years. Now, I've talked with Kim before, and we was talking a while back about people doubting their salvation. I said, "You know, if somebody could write a book or preach a message or, you know, do something to help people have assurance of their salvation, there would be a great benefit to God's people, to somebody that could help God's people have assurance of their salvation and certainty when it comes to the matter of them being saved. Now, I want you to look again at verse number 9. Look what the Bible says. He said, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." And I want to preach today on this subject, the Spirit in you. That's what this verse is talking about. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The word Spirit with a capital S, you'll find 19 times in Romans chapter number 8. Now, we're not going to deal with each one of these times specifically or be able to go into great detail, but I just want you to know that Romans chapter number 8 has a lot to say about the Spirit of God in you. Now, this is not a message for you to be able to tell if the Spirit of God is in you. What I'm asking today, how could you not tell if the Spirit of God is in you? How could you not tell if somebody as big as the Holy Ghost of God lived in you? How could you not tell it? You ought to be able to tell if the Spirit of God is in you or not. Look in verse number 10 what the Bible says. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." Do you see what that's saying there? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit, look what it says, that dwelleth in you. The Bible teaches that if you're saved by the grace of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. And I'm saying this morning, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, lives in you, you will know it. You are going to know if the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you know what? You're saved. You say, "I don't remember everything I said." Listen to me. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are saved. It doesn't matter if you remember what you said 25, 30 years ago. If the Spirit of God's in you, you're a child of God. You're saved. If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then look what the Bible says in the last part of verse number 9. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, do you know what? You are none of His. You're lost. You've never been saved if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you. Now, number one, let me point out, the Spirit of God in you affects your living. It affects your living. Verses 1 through 4 has to do with our walk. We'll look at these verses in a little bit. Verses 5 through 8 has to do with your mind, how you think about things. One is how you walk, how you live in this world. The other has to deal with your mind and how you think about things. Now, look in verse number 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, notice here in the Bible, there's an option. There's two ways that are mentioned in walking. You can either walk in the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, there's two ways there. There's two ways of walking there in verse number 1. Look down at verse number 6. The Bible says this, "For to be carnally minded," that's fleshly minded, "for to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice there's two ways of thinking. There's two ways of walking in verses 1 through 5. There's two different ways of thinking beginning in verse number 6. But before salvation, before the Spirit of God comes into a person's life, there's only one way to live. And there's only one way to think. Before the Spirit of God comes in, everything a person does is ordered after the way of the flesh. And before salvation, before the Spirit of God comes in, everything a person thinks is carnally minded. Carnal thinking, even religious people. That's going to be the great fall. I mean, my grandpa Cornett, he was a pastor, he was a preacher for many years, and he said this a lot of times. He said, religion will send more people to hell than anything else. Even religious people. They really only live one way and think one way. Even good people, they're only living one way. They're only thinking one way. The Bible says in Titus 3 and 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Do you know what? A lost person can do works of righteousness. They can do good things. They can go to church. They can try to be obedient to God. They can do all of those things. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6, the Bible says over there, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. There's some things people can do that are under the category of righteousness. It's not wicked. It's not ungodly. It's not sinful. But if the Spirit of God is not in a person, it's carnal. It's fleshly. It's done in many things in life, in the world of religion, are done under the heading of religious pride. The Pharisees loved to go out on the street corner and they loved to lift their voices in prayer and wear their religious robes and the scriptures tied to their forehead and on their arms. The Bible said, Jesus said, they loved to stand in the marketplace and pray so that they'd be seen of men. That's carnal thinking. You ask somebody, you ever been saved? They say, well, I've tried to follow the Ten Commandments all my life. I go to church, I was baptized. That's not one and the same thing. That's not what we're even talking about. Even right living is not right living until the Spirit of God comes along and makes it so. That's what verses 1 through 5 are saying. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're not under the law anymore. You're under the administration of the Spirit of God, capital S, the Spirit of God. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That means you can't be saved by keeping the law. It's not possible. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, before I was saved, I went to church. I tried to be a good boy. I tried to obey my parents and do all those things that I was supposed to do. But after I got saved by the grace of God, I found out that in my life, there was a whole new path opened up to me that I had never seen before or tried to even walk in before. You get saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God makes another pathway in our life. And it is to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is what the Bible says. Verse number 1, and again in verse number 4. I found out after I got saved, there's a whole new path. There's a whole new person. There's somebody that came to live in me. There's somebody that came to abide. He was always there. He's been there. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's a whole new person. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a whole new presence. And He began with me when I got saved by the grace of God. And He stayed with me all down through the years. And He's always been there. Now, I have not always walked like a child of God ought to walk. And neither have you. You've not always done everything you're supposed to do. You've not lived a perfect life since you got saved. And that messes a lot of people up. They say, well, if I really got saved, I'd have lived like Jesus. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have sinned here. I wouldn't have said that to that person if I'd have really gotten saved. You know what? Sometimes we still walk in the flesh. But you didn't have to. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God will be there in your life, and there's this other option. You don't have to follow old self no more, but you can follow the Spirit of God and do what the Spirit of God says to do. Since I have gotten saved many, many years ago, I've walked in the flesh. I have felt guilty for things that I have done. I have felt guilty for sin in my life. But do you know what? I've never felt condemned anymore. Because the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Before I got saved, I knew I was going to die and go to hell. But after I got saved, I've never felt condemned like I was going to die and go to hell anymore. I felt guilty, I felt bad, I felt sinful, I felt rotten, but I've never felt condemned like if I died, I'd die and go to hell. Because when you get saved, the Spirit of God takes that condemnation away. And there's therefore now no condemnation. You walk in the Spirit, you're not going to be condemned. You might feel guilty, you might feel bad, but you're not condemned. You're not condemned, going to die and go to hell. The Spirit of God in you makes a difference in our living. Number 2, the Spirit in you affects your leading. Look at verse number 14. Look what the Bible says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You ought to underline that verse in your Bible. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A true child of God. I'm talking about the Spirit in you. A child of God is going to experience the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. There are going to be times in your life where you can look back and testify and say, God led me for such and such. Whatever the case might be, God will give you direction in your life. Do you believe that? It's not always just been. Now, I've made a lot of decisions on my own. I've done a lot of things without consulting the Bible, the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you, there's some times where I've trusted the Lord and He has divinely directed the very steps of my path. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You believe God will lead you in the way you're supposed to go? The Spirit in you will lead you. Can you testify? Can you think about it in your life? Any time in your life where you've ever been led by the Spirit of God. And you say, I know God led me there. That's evidence of the leadership of the Spirit of God. He leads His children. That's what the Bible says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 30 and 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." I believe a child of God is going to have available unto them that right now, instantaneous leadership of the Spirit of God in their lives. You say, "Well, I prayed about something and God didn't lead me." That means just keep going in the direction you're going. And when it gets time to turn to the right or turn to the left, God will tell you. Say, "How will He tell you, preacher?" I don't know. But I know the Spirit of God in me has told me, go to the right, go to the left. I went to Dallas a few weeks ago, most of you know. And I was getting off the plane in Dallas, and I didn't check any luggage. All I had to do is grab my bags, get off the plane, and go try to find my ride, try to find Preacher Mark. And it's a huge, huge place. It's one of them cities. I mean, it just the roads are all built up in the air. And, you know, for little old country folks like us, that's just about overwhelming. We rode under the runway, and a plane was taxiing over the top. I mean, it's a huge outfit. And our plane landed, and I had to somehow find Preacher Mark and Sister Robin. They were supposed to be there to pick me up. And I remember, and I'd always check my bags. But this time it was different. I didn't have anything to claim. All I had to do is just get out of the airport. That's simple enough, isn't it? But of them things are hard to get out of. And I remember getting off, and it's like it's this huge hallway. And I got off, and there's all kinds of signs, but there's no exit sign. I just won't get out of that place. There's baggage claim, and there's gates this way as far as you can see, and that way as far as you can see. And I walked out into the aisleway there, and I said, "All right, Lord, I need to know which way to go." And I looked down to the left, and I thought, "I think I need to go that way." And I looked down to the right, and it's like the Lord said, "That's the way you need to go." And I said, "All right, I'm just going to trust that that's the way I..." And I started heading down the hallway there, and I finally seen somebody I could ask. I said, "I don't have no bags to claim." I said, "I just want to get out of here. What's the quickest way to get out of this place?" And he said, "You just keep going down there, right over there, and you'll see you can go outside from there." I said, "Thank you very much." And I walked down that hallway, and I probably hadn't been off that plane more than 4 minutes. And I seen people going outside, and I said, "Praise the Lord. Now I just got to find Preacher Mark." And I walked through the door, and I walked across the little hallway there, and I walked outside, and as I was walking outside, guess who was driving up? I said, "Praise God." Well, that was the Lord. You know, if I'd have went the other direction, there is no telling how I'd have found him. Even texting and calling and all of that stuff, it's just huge. And Brother Mark, he waved great big, and I just walked up just like somebody else was in all the arrangements of our meeting there on that day. You say, "That's just coincidence." I say, "No, that's God working in the lives of His children." The Bible doesn't say that God just works in big things. The Bible says He directs all the paths of our feet. That you will hear a voice behind thee saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. This is what you need to do." Boy, when the Spirit of God works in your life, He leads you, He directs you, He works in your decisions. Philip was a great evangelist in the book of Acts, and he was having revival down in Samaria, and all kinds of people was getting saved, and the angel of the Lord said, "Leave that meeting, go down into the desert," and Philip did that thing. Went down into the desert, said, "All right, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do?" Acts 8:29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." The Spirit of God spoke to him, said, "You need to go right over there. There's your appointment. There's your meeting. The Spirit of God still speaks to hearts today. You say, I don't know anything about that. Then I would ask myself the question, have I ever been saved? Because the Spirit of God speaks. Not in an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice, but it's just as real. That God can impress by His Spirit upon His children what they are supposed to do. Have you ever felt led to witness to somebody? I mean, maybe you're somewhere and you've not planned on it. You've not been thinking about it or anything like that. But you meet somebody and the Spirit of God says you need to talk to that person. That's a reality. That happens. That has happened to me. I don't know how many times in my life are the Spirit of God, and they might be a saved person you're talking to. Maybe you're supposed to encourage them. Monday night, we went to pick Abigail up, and Kim wanted to go early. She wanted to go by Kohl's and shop. And I wanted to ride with her and spend some time with her. And so we went down there and I said, I'll study while you're shopping. And there's a Sweet Frog right across from Kohl's down in Wilkesboro. I said, praise the Lord. That's the will of God that I go over there and get me some frozen yogurt. Man, I love that stuff. And I went over there and they were having a fundraiser for Ebenezer Children's Home. You know, Preacher David talks about that all the time. And they were giving 10% of what they brought in that night to the Ebenezer Children's Home. And I went in there and I was eating my yogurt. And there wasn't a whole lot of people in there or anything. And there was a lady over there, she was volunteering. And everybody that come in the door, she said, if you mention Ebenezer, they'll give part of it to the children's home and everybody that came in the door. And boy, as I sat there and thought about it, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. He said, you give what you've got to that woman before you leave. And here's the thing. She got on the phone. And I said, Lord, if she'll get off the phone, I'll do that. And boy, she didn't get off the phone. And I'd eat all my yogurt and I was getting ready to go. And I thought, now, Lord, do you really want me to do that? And the longer she talked on the phone, and I thought, Lord, am I really supposed to do that? And boy, He pressed upon my heart. I thought to myself, you know, I've been in this a long time. And I believe I know when the Spirit of God is dealing with my heart. And I thought, if I don't do that, I'm going to be coming back in here. And so as I, and it wasn't much, but I got the money out and I went over and I gave it to her. And I believe she's a saved woman. And boy, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, you know how sometimes your heart bears witness with somebody else. She was so appreciative. The Spirit of God will lead you. The Spirit in you. This is not something you go through life. I hope. No, the Spirit of God will lead you through this life. And the Spirit of God will impress things upon you as you go along in life. That might not happen once a month. I don't know. It may be few and far between that you really feel impressed, but the Spirit of God will impress upon you to do things, to have direction in your life. The Spirit of God will help you in worship. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not just coming to church, singing a few songs, going through the motions. Worship is praising God out of a thankful heart. And we don't always worship like we ought to, but I'm telling you, every once in a while, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to have a wonderful experience of worship in your life, and God is going to stir in your heart, and it's not like some song that touches your emotions that you heard on the radio, some country or love song or something like that, but it is real and it is from the heart, and God comes in and stirs and you worship. I was coming out the bypass the other day and somebody else got in the car with me, and it's the Spirit of God. And I was listening to that new Primitive CD, and boy, there's a song on there, it just touches my heartstrings every time I hear it. He says, "What you see before you, I've not always been." If you heard that song, man, I shouted. I was coming out the bypass. I thought if I got pulled up and I met a highway patrolman and I was speeding, I was probably swerving. But I thought if I got pulled over, I'd just say, "Do you know the Lord? If you don't know the Lord, you're not going to understand my story. But I'm justified. I'm speeding under the influence of the Holy Ghost." I was having a time. The Lord was there with me. Nobody else. And I was just able to worship Him and praise Him. He'll help you worship. He'll help your prayer life. Look over in verse 26 what the Bible says. It says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You don't always know how to pray. Say, "Brother, pray for us. I don't know how to pray." You just start out and it's all awkward. And you don't really have the words. We was up to see Sister Mick. I wasn't going to tell all this, but we was up to see her the evening that she passed away. And we walked in and they said, "You know, the family has all been in there. It happened on that day several times. They thought this is it." The family gathered around and she didn't pass away. I think they said that had happened two or three times. And we came in there and we'd been there a few minutes and we said, "Well, we're going to go back and see Sister Mick one more time." And I believe it's Sister Joanne. She said, "Everybody's been around. Everybody said." And we wonder, is somebody supposed to do something? The Spirit of God pricked my heart. I said, "You need to pray." I said, "Lord, hey, the Lord will embarrass your flesh if you'll let Him." And I stood there a minute, and the longer I stood there, and they were talking, and the Spirit of God said, "You need to pray right now." And they were still talking, and they were looking at Sister Mick, and I said, "Would y'all mind if I prayed?" And they said, "No, you come right on." And I went over and I held her hand and I prayed with her. And she had, I think I'd already told you this, but she closed her mouth. Buddy, I believe with all my heart she knew what was going on. I believe she was waiting for somebody to come along and say, "Have prayer with her." We had prayer and the Holy Ghost helped us. And it wasn't just a few minutes. She crossed over to the other side. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will lead you. He will lead you in your prayer life. He'll lead you in your worship. He'll lead you and give you direction as to what to do and what not to do. How could you not know? The Spirit of God dwells in you. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about being holier than thou. That doesn't make me nothing, buddy. If the Spirit of God is in you, you'll know you're a worm. You'll know you deserve to die and go to hell. And you'll give the one that deserves all the credit. You'll give it to Him. Because the Spirit of God does not make a big deal about Himself. He glorifies and uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Spirit in you. The Spirit of God in you, it affects your living. And it affects your leading. And it affects your loving. Look in verse number 15 what the Bible says. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's billions of people in the world that talk about God, and most of them don't even know who He is. James 2:19 says, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you're saved. But Abba, Father is a term of endearment. It's like us saying, my daddy. If you're saved by the grace of God, then it'll be natural off your lips that when we're talking about God the Father, He's my Father. He's not just God. Not the man upstairs. He's my Father. He's my daddy. And a daddy's a special thing. There's a lot of fathers in here, but there's only one I can call my daddy. And you know what? That you men, I love you and I appreciate you, but there's a lot of you. I wouldn't ask something of you, off of you, unless it's just a real emergency. But now, my daddy, it wouldn't bother me to ask him anything. We've been in church before and I've asked him. I'm talking about me being a grown adult. I say, you got some money I can put in the offering? He's my daddy. There's just a special relationship there. Now, I was sort of semi-kidding about it. I told him I'd pay him back. You know, but he's my dad. There's an endearment there. There's a love there. There's an appreciation there. There's a familiarity there. I don't feel like I'm bothering him to go and say, Dad, can I borrow your whatever? He's my daddy. You know what? He doesn't mind. I don't think. As long as I bring it back and put it back where I got it. It's my daddy. God's not some foreign concept to us, but He's a reality in our lives. He's my Father. I can come and ask Him, Lord, which way do I need to go? I'm in the airport in a big city and I don't know where to go. So go that way. It's my daddy. My Father. There ought to be a love there. There ought to be a relationship there. The Spirit of God affects your love. And last of all, the Spirit of God affects your longing. Look in verse number 18. Paul said, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What Paul's talking about there is the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. The whole world is crumbling and falling to pieces all round about us. It is. It was then, and it is now. Governments are falling. Societies are falling. Nations are falling apart. Families are falling apart. Churches are falling apart. What is it? It's the result of sin. We're coming down to the end of the age and everything is falling all to pieces. Even us. Even me. Right now, today, I stand before you in a decaying, dying body, and as time goes on, we're all going to fall all to pieces. If that's all we had in this world, it would look very dim, but you know what? For the children of God, it looks pretty bright. We're waiting for something. We're longing for something. We're hoping for something according to the Word of God. There in verse 23, to wit, what are we waiting for? The redemption of our body. Your longing ought to be different if you're a child of God. The Spirit of God comes in you and He says, you know what? This is not all there is. We might be in World War III before the end of this coming week, but you know what? This is not our home. We are just passing through. It's going to get worse. It's going to get darker as time goes on. But for the children of God, it looks pretty good. Looks pretty good to us. We're waiting. We're longing for something else. I went and seen Sister Mary yesterday morning. And they had told her that they're going to move her to Blowing Rock where hospice can come in. We all know what that means. She knew what was going on, and I had just a few minutes in the room, just me and her. She said, told me they was moving her to Blowing Rock where hospice could help. She looked at me and she said this. She said, it won't be long. She said, but I'm looking forward to it. You think about that. Here's somebody, they know they're not long in this world. But a child of God can say, you know what, I'm looking forward to it. I got something to look forward to. She said, it'll be all right. Isn't that just like her? It'll be all right. It's going to be all right. Child of God's got a longing for another world. We're going to leave the pain, the sorrow, the heartache, all those things. There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith, I can see it afar. We got something to look forward to. Say, preacher, you really believe that? I sure do. Spirit of God says it's all true. You say, I don't believe in that. I don't know about that. I'd check up if I was you. It's just as real. It's just as real as we are here this morning. Now, going back to verse number 9, and I'm closing. He said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, how can you tell if you're saved? How can you tell? How can you know? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and He does, and He's real, and you ought to be able to tell it. Well, verse 9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. No witness of the Spirit, you're none of His. No possession of the Spirit, no leading, no presence. You're none of His. You can be an outward shell and look all right and talk the right talk, but just be as empty on the inside. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.